Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are continuing to work through the list of spiritual gifts that is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. And we have covered five of the seven, and we are looking now at the last two, which are rules, or leads, depending on the translation that you have, and then showing mercy. But let me begin by reading once again the relevant text in Romans 12, beginning at verse 6. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, that is serving, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, I actually spent a couple of broadcasts on the spiritual gift of giving, and I considered even spending another broadcast on that yet today, and I don't want to do that, having thought about it, but I do want to say one final word, which will take me 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll move on to spiritual gift number 6. And that is, just keep in mind, if you have the spiritual gift of giving, God has enabled you to give. God has given you resources to give more than the ordinary. Every Christian has a responsibility to give, but some have the gift of giving and presumably have therefore been given resources to give more than the ordinary. Just like everybody has some area of teaching responsibility, but others have that gift to a greater degree, a more than ordinary degree, and so they use it in the public ministry of the word in ways that others do not. And that's true of all the gifts. There is some sense in which probably every one of them is used by all of God's people to some degree, but if you have that particular gift to an above average, a more than ordinary degree, then you have that spiritual gift, and you are to exercise it to a far greater degree than would be expected of others in the body of Christ, though they may, and no doubt will, exercise that same area of ministry, but they're not going to be able to do it to the degree that you do it. And that's true of all of them. And so in this area of giving, if you have been given the gift of giving, you have no doubt been given resources to give from that are above the ordinary, and therefore God expects you to give out of those resources far more than the ordinary. And just keep in mind that in all of the gifts, the more you exercise them, the greater your capacity to exercise them. For those who've been given the gift of teaching, like myself, hopefully I'm a much more effective teacher today than I was 33 years ago when I began to pastor for the first time. If not, something's wrong. If I have not developed in my ability to preach, to teach, to communicate the Word of God, so that I'm a better teacher today than I was in 1973 and even prior to that, then something's very wrong if I haven't developed it. And I'm of the opinion that I have, and I think there's reason to think so, that I have, that I'm a better teacher today than I was, because if I had not exercised the gift that was given to me, of course that would not be true. You probably heard that little chorus. You have a talent, use it for the Lord. You have a talent, use it for the Lord. If you do not use it, you will surely lose it. You have a talent, use it for the Lord. Now, that's often very true. If we don't exercise the gifts we've been given, then we will lose our capacity to exercise them, and if not, at least we will not grow in our ability. You have to exercise it in order to grow. That being true of all the gifts, how does that apply to the gift of giving? Well, the more you exercise the gift of giving, the more presumably your capacity to give will enlarge. There are dangers in that. Think of how many warnings there are in the Bible regarding riches and how easily riches turn one away from things eternal. There's a great danger, therefore, in having the gift of giving and seeing your capacity to give grow. That's an added temptation and potential stumbling block to your spiritual welfare. So guard against that. But number two, if you don't exercise your gift of giving, you shouldn't expect to enlarge your capacity to exercise it. And if you do, then you should expect to enlarge your capacity. The more you give, the more you will be able to give. That's the way it works. The Bible tells us that. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The more you give with the right heart motive, the more will be your capacity to give. Now, I'm confident that if your motive in giving is that you want to get rich in return, sort of the health and wealth approach that is common in our day, I'm confident that you will not be blessed of the Lord in that. You say, well, I've known some people who did that and their capacity was enlarged. They did get richer in return. Yeah, but what you don't know is whether that was given to them by God or whether that was given to them by the devil, by the adversary of our soul, who does have ability to do those things too. Remember in the temptation of Christ, he said, if you will worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. He has the ability to make people wealthy. And if he sees that that will damage their souls, and particularly if it will damn their souls for eternity, don't you think he'd delight to do that? Satan doesn't ruin everybody by putting them in the gutter. Satan ruins some people by putting them in the mansion. So if your motive is, I'm going to give in order to get rich, I don't think you'll be blessed financially by God, but if your motive is, I want to expand my capacity to give so that I can support the Lord's work and help people who are in need, I enjoy doing that now. That's my gift. I exercise it. I enjoy doing it. I find fulfillment in it. I'd like to be able to do more of it. If you're a faithful steward that God can trust to pass those resources on, you don't get sticky fingers and hoard them, then undoubtedly your capacity will increase, and of course it will benefit you materially in the process. There's probably no question about that. You will enjoy some of the benefit of that, no doubt. But don't get sidetracked. The reason God is blessing you is so that you can give more. Use that spiritual gift in order to enlarge your capacity to use that spiritual gift. It works in regard to all the gifts. It works in regard to giving. But now, having taken a little more time with that last point on giving, I move on to ruling. Verse 8 says, he that exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads is the word in my New King James. He who rules is the word in the Old King James. He who governs or administrates are other words in various translations. Do it with diligence. Ruling, leading, governments, administration. They're actually some different Greek words that I think all describe the same gift. If you look at the list in 1 Corinthians 12:28, you might find different words, but they have the same meaning, the same idea here. And this has the idea of those who lead. leading various areas of work in the church, organizing and overseeing certain areas of church ministry. Again, someone who is qualified for the office of pastor needs to have a capacity for ruling, for leading. How could he possibly be in front of people to preach and to provide leadership for the church if he has no capacity for leadership? How could he possibly oversee the church if he has no capacity for oversight, for administration, for ruling, for leading? How can he be one who rules well? Let the elders who rule well, 1 Timothy 5:17, be counted worthy of double honor. How can he possibly rule well if he has no capacity to rule at all? In fact, one of the qualifications for a pastor is, be sure that he knows how to rule his own house, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, for if he cannot rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If he's not an adequate and exemplary leader in his own home, every father, every husband has been given leadership responsibilities in his marriage and in his home. If he is an inadequate leader in his home, how could he possibly be a leader in the church? But pastors aren't the only ones who have been given spiritual gifts in the area of ruling or leadership. And there's so many areas that people with these gifts can exercise them in without necessarily being a pastor. Just being a leader in, who knows what, your Sunday school class, in youth work, in outreach ministry, in building projects, in book rooms, in libraries, on and on and on it goes. There's really no end to the possibilities here. People who have this gift, this capacity, have almost limitless opportunities to exercise that for the glory of Christ and for the good of the church and for the expansion of Christ's kingdom. And if you have such a gift, Paul says, then you need to exercise that with diligence, a word that means in earnest or with haste. In other words, with intense effort and determination. Even when the load becomes heavy, continue to do it. Even when sometimes people resist your efforts and reject your leadership, as will happen from time to time. Every pastor has experienced some of this. But it's not unique to pastors, it's unique to anybody who tries to lead people. Sometimes people are not very easily led. Oftentimes people are not easily led. Now, if you have a gift for leadership, no doubt you will be reasonably successful at doing it. And the more you exercise it to the glory of God and growing in grace and knowledge and in spirituality and Christ-likeness all the while, no doubt you will learn to exercise your gift of leadership more and more effectively. But there will be times when things will not go well. Your efforts will be resisted. Your efforts will not accomplish what you think they ought to accomplish. That's the time to buckle down and with greater determination keep moving forward. Keep charging ahead. Keep leading in the area that you are gifted to lead in, even when the load becomes heavy, because nobody said that serving Christ is supposed to always be easy. But we are to always be faithful, and may God help us to do so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.